Many years ago, I had a coworker that I knew was reading the Bible. And one day, I asked him, "Are you still reading the Bible?" And he said to me that he had finished. And there was, to be fair, there was a language barrier. English wasn't his first language, and so maybe there was a bit of miscommunication on my part or on his part. Maybe something didn't quite get transferred as it should have. But I was given the impression, right or wrong, that he had finished, and this meant that his approach to reading the Bible was going to change. Either he wasn't going to read it anymore, or maybe not for a while, or maybe not with the same intensity that he had been. At least this was the impression that I received. But what we learn from our proverb tonight, Proverbs 19:27, is that it's not enough just to hear instruction once and then think that's enough and stop. We have to keep on hearing it. We have to keep on listening. So please turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Solomon tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Now, the proverb has been variously translated, but the modern English versions, in the main, take it in the same general direction. This includes the NASB, which we've just heard, the English Standard Version, New King James, NIV. And so then, taking the text then as rendered by those versions, we have before us a rather ironic proverb. The text says, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline." That's the first part of it, or also rendered, "Cease to hear instruction, my son." As stated, the proverb says that you are to stop listening to instruction. Strictly speaking, this is not an if-then statement, because there's no if anywhere in the verse. It simply says, cease listening. In other words, if we were to stop there, it sounds like class is over, right? In your mind's eye, you can see a group of school kids getting up from their desks and running out of the room as quickly as possible, and they're saying, "School's out. This is what we've been waiting for all day long. We get to cease listening to instruction. This is great. We've been listening all day long for those magic words, cease listening." You can imagine such a scene, I'm sure. The problem is, though, of course, that we have to read all the way through the proverb and not just stop halfway through. This is important because the second half of the proverb informs us of the consequences that come if we decide to stop listening. He says, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." As stated here, this is truly ironic instruction. And so we need to ask the question, what is Solomon trying to get us to do? What does he actually have in mind here? In view of the consequence, does he really want us to do what he has apparently told us to do? In light of the fact that we will stray from the words of knowledge if we stop listening, does Solomon really want us to stop listening? Now, the obvious answer, of course, is no. He does not want us to stop listening to discipline or good instruction. Instead, he wants us to keep listening. And so, even though, as we said, strictly speaking, this is not an if-then statement, it practically functions that way by telling us the outcome that will come about if we stop listening to good instruction. The outcome is, of course, that you will stray from words of knowledge. Another way of saying the same thing is to say that it's not enough simply to hear instruction once or even many times and then to suppose that you have it down, you can stop, you have no more need of listening. You don't need to listen anymore. If you do that, according to God's word, given enough time and inertia, there's a good chance that you'll go off the rails some way or another. You have to keep listening. And so if the proverb before us tonight tells us in an ironic sort of way what we ought not to do, then we can look at a couple of other proverbs that put the matter in a positive light. And so if you look back up just a few verses to Proverbs 19, verse 20, we're told in the positive way, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days." Or if you look over to Proverbs 23:12, we're told, "Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge." That's what we have to do. We have to listen to counsel, accept discipline, apply our heart to discipline, and our ears to words of knowledge. And our text before us tonight points out the deadly consequence that happens when we decide to stop listening. And so then with that exposition of the verse before us, let's think about two things tonight. The reasons to keep listening and how to keep listening. The why and the how. Why should we keep listening and how should we keep listening? So first of all, the why. The text itself gives us the main reason. You need to keep listening because if you don't, you will stray from words of knowledge. That's fair enough. But what we need to do tonight is to consider why that is in fact the case. Why will we stray from words of knowledge if we stop listening? Certainly this list that I will give could be extended, but I'll mention just a few reasons and we'll look at a few of them. One is we're sinful. Two, we're forgetful. Three, you may not know as much as you think you know. And four, if you're not listening to the words of discipline, you'll be listening to something. And that something, whatever it is that you're listening to, probably the flesh, the devil, or the world, will be pointing you in its direction instead of listening to God's word and being drawn in the Lord's direction. And so first of all, we're sinful. And our indwelling sin is incredibly deceitful. Jeremiah tells us, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The word of God, faithfully taught and applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, is the great antidote for this desperate sickness that we have. When we hear and believe the gospel of Christ, we receive a new heart. This is what it means to be born again. We hear the message that Christ came into the world and lived and died for sinners. We believe it. We receive a new heart. But as we know from sad experience, indwelling sin does not die completely at our conversion. When by the Spirit's work in our hearts we desire to do good, the sad reality is that evil is right there with us. And sin is tricky. It's deceptive. And the way that we should be able to recognize the deceits of the devil and his traps and get out of them is by the Word of God. But without the continual reminders and convictions of the Word of God keeping us in check, eventually the deceitfulness of sin will appear to be true. And we may well give into it because we have neglected the life-giving, strengthening Word of God. The way we need to fight temptation, of course, is modeled by our Lord Jesus Christ, as he did when he was tempted by Satan. He continually responded with those words, "It is written." Three times over he said, "It is written." But if we stop listening to the words of discipline, we'll be less likely to respond as Christ did, won't we? We won't have that ready recall of the Word of God being able to respond with it. As fallen people, our default, our natural default is towards sin. And even as believers, we can still default in the direction of sin because sin is deceitful. Again, the antidote to this deceitfulness of sin is our continual exposure to the Word of God, coupled with the application of that Word by the Holy Spirit. And in this, of course, the work of the Spirit is primary. And exposing ourselves to the Word is the means by which the Spirit works. We expose ourselves to the Word, and the Spirit works through the Word, applying it to our hearts, convicting us, pointing us in the way in which we should walk. So, for one, we're sinful. Another reason is that in addition to being sinful, we're also forgetful. Now, when I was young, I used to think I had a great memory. The older I get, the more and more I question that, and maybe Ruby even more so. But it's been said before that we need more often to be reminded than we need to be taught. And isn't that true? A lot of times our biggest need is not that we need to learn something brand new, but we just need to be reminded of what we already know. We learn something once, and we think it's great, and we think maybe it will stick with us, but how many times does it not stick? And even if it is back there in the recesses of our minds somewhere, odds are it will stay back there in the cobwebs somewhere unless we are intentionally and seriously thinking about something and then maybe we're able to go into recall mode and pull it up. But in short, our natural tendency is more toward forgetfulness than towards remembrance. And so we get busy and time moves on and we just forget stuff, even wonderful stuff that we had hoped to remember. We hoped that we could file it back there in our mind somewhere for later recall. And then, but you know, time moves on and it's gone. We forget. Given time and inertia, the tendency towards increasing disorder, we forget. And some of us maybe more so than others, but we all forget. And that's just the condition of people living in a fallen world. And that is why this proverb is true. Cease listening, my son, to words of discipline, and you will stray from words of knowledge. You can't remember everything you've heard in the past. You've got to keep listening, or you will stray. If you're not continually reminded of the gospel and the way in which God calls us to live, you're likely to forget. And the result will be that you will go astray to some degree or another. And God is mindful, thankfully so, of our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we are likely to forget. And he has given us in his word many calls to remember. If you think back to the book of Deuteronomy, Moses highlights the tendency to forget and the necessity of remembering. And he does this in more than one place in Deuteronomy. I'll just mention to you Deuteronomy 4:9, where he says to the people, "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons." And so he's calling these people to remember, to not forget. And likewise, we see the same thing in the book of 2 Peter. It's an excellent example of how God takes into account our tendency toward forgetfulness and calls us to remember. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, we read Peter writing to these people. He says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." Over and over again, Peter says, "You know these things, I'm writing to you as a reminder." And you see his emphasis. They know it, but he knows that his death is coming. He wants these people to be able to call these things to mind, and he has written it down for them. And then later on in the book, 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." And so Peter knows these people need to be reminded, and we do as well. So we need to be continually reminded because we're forgetful. And if we forget, we will likely stray from the words of knowledge. And so we're sinful, we're forgetful. And thirdly, and I won't dwell long on this, but thirdly, you may not know as much as you think you know. Suffice it to say, especially for those of us who have been in the church for a long time or who have been believers for a long time, we may think we know the Bible pretty well. Maybe you do compared to some, but there's still a lot that you don't know, and you might be self-deceived into thinking that you actually know more than you really do know. And so you need to keep listening. You need to keep learning. Even if you know a lot, there's still more things that you don't know. And then, as we said, fourthly, if you're not listening to words of discipline, you'll be listening to something. And that something will be pulling you in its direction, whatever it is. There's a show on the radio called The World. I got in the truck one time, the radio was on, it said, "You're listening to The World." And, you know, it's kind of like, wow, listening to The World. And the world is not always going to be that blatant and in your face about saying, "Hey, this is The World here speaking," but it's the world speaking, the flesh or the devil. If it's not words of knowledge, if it's not the word of God, it's going to be something bad, and you'll be listening to something. And so we need to be making sure that we're listening to words of discipline, to the word of God, and not to the world or to the flesh or the devil. Odds are the devil's not going to say, "This is the devil, you're listening to the devil." That's not going to happen. So you need to be listening to the word of God. And so since this is why we need to listen to the word of God, how do we do it? How do we approach this issue of how do we listen? Certainly more could be said about this than I will say this evening, but I will mention a couple of things. Obviously, we need to keep reading Scripture. We can't be, as I suspected that former coworker of mine was, someone who had read it through once and, yeah, I finished. I'm moving on to something else. We need to continually be going back to Scripture time and again with humility, asking God to teach us by His Word And so one way that we listen to discipline is by reading Scripture and allowing the Word of God to correct whatever misunderstandings, misconceptions we may have, and allowing it to convict us of our sin. And as important as our own personal reading and study of the Scripture is, there is something that should be even higher on our list of priority as a means of listening to God's Word. And that is the regular weekly gathering of the Lord's people on the Lord's Day. And I realize this could sound strange or shocking, but I do believe that on our scale of priorities, the weekly gathering of the people of God around the Word of God should be even more highly esteemed than the practice of a daily quiet time. There are no absolute commands in Scripture that we have to read the Bible every day. But we are commanded, Hebrews 10:25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think daily quiet time, daily Bible reading is a good thing. I would not diminish your estimation of that for the world. But if that is held in high regard, the weekly gathering of the people of God should be even higher on our list. So please keep reading your Bible in private. Please do it. But it is even more important to be gathered with the church to hear the word of God among the Lord's people on the Lord's Day. One writer wisely observed that we often underestimate how much we all need the encouragement of the weekly gathering around the word to go on believing in God for one more week. Maybe that's a little more forthright and to the point than some of us would care to express it, but I think the author is acknowledging at root that if we cease listening to words of knowledge in a corporate body, we will stray from words of knowledge. We're weak, and so much so that if we consistently neglect the gathering of the church to hear the word, we could end up abandoning and jettisoning the faith altogether. God uses means to preserve his people in the faith, and one of the primary means is the local church gathered to hear the word of God and be instructed in it. Now, I understand, of course, there are all things which prevent us from gathering with our own churches from time to time. We get sick, the kids are sick, we're out of town, or we have to work due to cases of necessity or mercy, things of that nature. But there is a difference between providential hinderings of that sort and other things, unnecessary responsibilities and unnecessary activities that we pull into our lives that hinder us from being with the Lord's people on the Lord's Day. And we need to be very careful about those things, because those things are certainly less important than gathering with the Lord's people on the Lord's Day. So I understand there are things that that justly hinder us, and fairly so, but the weekly gathering of the people of God to hear God's word should be very high on our priority as far as continuing to listen to the words of knowledge. And so when you come to gather with the Lord's people to hear his word, come with eager and expectant hearts, recognizing that something special happens in the midst of the church that does not happen elsewhere as the people of God gather to hear his word. And this is one of the primary ways in which we are to keep listening. This is God's preservation plan for his people, gathering them together, hearing the word of God, being strengthened and encouraged in it. And so we all need to be reminded of what Solomon says: cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from words of knowledge. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your word's honest dealing with us in our fallen condition. And Lord, we thank you for a sober reminder that if we cease listening, that we will stray. And so, Father, we pray that you would tune our ears and the ears of our hearts to hear your word, and that you would help us to come to you with eager expectation when we hear your word, that you would open our hearts, that our misunderstandings and misconceptions and mistakes would be corrected, and that we would be convicted of our sins, that you would grant to us repentance and a true amendment of life, that we might follow you in obedience. And so, Lord, we thank you so much that your word tells us about you, tells us about who we should be as your people. It tells us how we should be living sacrifices before you. And so, Father, we pray that you would make your word effectual in our hearts by the working of your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.